good to go. First of all, a great shkoyach to this entire concept of when I first heard about it in London a few years ago. Debusher, whoever thought of this whole idea of start your day the Torah way and all the people that support it, Debusher should pay everybody kefil keflayim for the lima Torah that is kairim, a peladic idea. So we're going to start with a riddle. The riddle's like this. You have three frogs sitting on a lily pad, and one frog decides to jump off. How many frogs do you have left on the lily pad? Now, we're not going to answer that right away. The good thing about this riddle is that you know when we get to the answer of the riddle, we're done. Three frogs sitting on a lily pad. One frog decides to jump off. How many frogs do you have left on the lily pad? You think about that. Let's go to Parshas B'Shalach. Parshas B'Shalach. So for Shteitzach, if it's Parshas B'Shalach, then what we have to talk about is we have to talk about Ninveh and Yoima. Right? So says Rav Galinsky. Rav Galinsky has the following kasha. Shtel zachvor. Yonah starts walking around into Ninveh. He walks in and says, Rabbeisai, oh, that boy Yoim, and Ninveh is going to be destroyed. People go over to him and say, children, who are you? My name's Yonah. Where'd you come from? You're from here? He says, no, not from here. He says, well, when did you get here? Oh, I arrived this morning. No boats docked this morning. Yeah, I know. I came by a whale. Oh, shkoyach. And what do you have to say? Well listen, Ninveh is going to be destroyed in 40 days. You better do something about this. I'm a shuganer. So he walks around telling everybody. They go to the king and say, I'm a shuganer. He comes and says that he's speaking b'shem Hashem. And he came here by a whale. And he says, we're all going to do it. What should we do with the guy? And what does the king do? Take off his clothes, gets on the ground, rice, clear up, I said, that's Shuvatan, and everybody tells everyone to fast. As of Galinsky, why'd they believe him? Meshuggah comes in and says, I'm speaking Meshem Hashem, you're all gonna die, I got here by a whale, Mech Tesis, the guy walks in out of nowhere, what's the king believing him for? Says Rav Galinsky, because we all know who was the king of Ninveh. Of this week's Parsha. So can you imagine some guy walks in and they said, listen, there's some shugan out there. He says he's speaking b'shem Hashem. He says, we're all going to be destroyed. What do you think we should do? And he says, oy vey, not again. He says, we got to do tshuva. This is not, I'm telling you, this is true. I went through it. Kriyas Yamsuf and Makos. This is not funny, Rabbeisai. And he gets on the ground and everybody fasts and they put on sackcloth. They do tshuva. And we understand that because it was Pahoy. He went through this. Ask Rav Galinsky. So if this is pshat, if Taket's right that the Melech of Ninveh was Paro, and because it was Paro and he understood what was going on, some guy walks in and says, you're all going to die, and everyone thinks, they laugh at him, and he says, no, Rabbeisai, I'm telling you from my experience, we have to listen. If that's true, then why did Chazal tell us that after Yonah left, 40 days later, Ninveh got destroyed, because their tshuva didn't last. The Nevuah was correct. And Yonah left. Everybody went back to normal. Bam, it got destroyed. If it was Parai, and he went to the Makos, and he's the only one left over, he was the only one left over from Kriyas Yamsuf, so much so that when some guy, crazy person walks in and says, I'm a Navi Hashem, and everyone laughs at him, the king says, gets off his throne and says, it's a Tshuvatan. So what went wrong? Why did the Taka fall apart? And why 40 days later did Ninveh actually get destroyed? Says Rabbi Galinsky Zatzal, because they cried, they made takonis, they made kabbalas, they had a kinnis, they said chillin, but they didn't do anything. You gotta have a plan. It's very nice to make kabbalas and to decide and think and talk and cry, and you gotta do something. Nachshon Ben Aminadav, everybody knows he's the hero of this week's parsha. Nachshon Ben Aminadav, Kriyas Yamsuf. They're standing there. Nachshon dives in, walks in, the water up to his neck. He's our hero. look at the how the Gemara discusses the whole parsha. The Gemara Saita tells us, and it gives us the first version, which we're not all so familiar with.
By the water. The Shvatim are arguing with each other. This one says, we're the first one. We're going to be the first ones into the Yam. No. We're going to be the first Shevet into the Yam. Kofat, Shevet, Shalbin Yamin. Shevet Yamin jumped in. They were the first ones in.
That's the mayor's opinion.
Amalo Rabbi Yehuda, look, Hachaya Maisa.
That's not how it went.
Ella, Zeomer, Eina Niyoyre Tchila.
One Shevet says, I don't want to be the first one to go in.
The Zeomer, Eina Niyoyre Tchila, I'm not going to be the first one to go in.
What happens?
Kofas, Nachsho Menami, Nodav, Viyorad Leyom Tchila.
Says Rav Galinsky Zatzal, we know that in Agadato there's no real machlokes. When you have different opinions like this, two wildly divergent opinions, we know that they're both different sides of the MS. So how do you reconcile this? So Grada the Bali Taisus on the spot, in Chumash, they taka say that Lemaisa, who went first? Taka, how did it, in practical, how did it go? So they said, Enchanami, Nachshon jumped in first. Then as far as the Shvatim went, Shevet Binyamin went in, and then all the other Shvatim. So that settles the technicalities. But as Rav Galinsky, but there's a machlokes of what happened. Rav Meir says that the Shvatim were saying, I want to go first. Ani yorei tchila. And Rabbi Yehuda says, look, hachaya maisa. They said, ein ani yorei tchila. So that's a stira. How do you reconcile that?
Says Rav Galinsky.
They're both right. Rav Meir is saying, you know what they were saying? When they were talking, they said, Ani yorei tchila.
No. Ani yorei tchila. I'm going to jump in first. What are you talking about? I'm going to jump in first.
And that's how they were talking. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Zerfein Geret, Balo Kachaya Maisa. Lemaisa, that's not what they really meant.
They were talking, Ani yorei, Ani yorei, I'm going to do it, I'm going to be in charge, I'm going to take things, this is our plan, I'll be the head,
very nice, they're all talking, Zerfein. But Lemaisa, what they really meant is, I'm not going first, I'm not going to go first, the other guy can go in first. Until Nachshon finally jumped in. We can talk and we can decide. Many years ago, when I was a bacher, the summer of Tavshin Chavtes, 1969, I went into Rav Chaim Shulevitz Zatzal for a faher to get accepted to the Mir Yeshiva in Yushalayim. It's not the Mir that it was today. I made a big mistake. I went in on a Sunday after Rav Chaim Shmuz. His Shmuz was about Shachris. In the Mir of 1969, you had maybe about 15 people at Shachris every morning. It was difficult. Shachris was not the thing to do. So I went in for my faher after the Shmuz. So I had a letter from lots of our states. I give him a letter, reads the letter, and I'm waiting for him to ask something. Right, he looks at me and he says, "Du wirst kommen zu Shachris jeden Tag in der Früh." You're gonna come to Shachris every morning? So now I had a deer in Gula. If you know anything about Bachim, the Bachim in the apartments, they dive in the Shniblach. And I was stunned. Like, I'm waiting for a Gemara. I find something. Du hast kommen zu Shachris jeden Tag in der Früh. So I looked at the Rosh Shiva Zatzal and I said, Emir Tzashem. And he looked at me and said, Nicht Emir Tzashem. Du hast kommen zu Shachris jeden Tag in der Früh. Don't Emir Tzashem. Are you going to come to Shachris? And I thought I came to Shachris. I remember the Mashgiach. He should be well around Chodesh. He once asked me, right? He said, we're not going to talk about my time in the air. But Baruch Shem, I was like, okay. He once asked me, he says, Feigenbaum, he says, why? He says, you have a dira all the way by Kikar Shabbos. He said, I got to ask, why do you come to Shachris every morning? How come you don't have it in the Shtibach? I said, I promised the Rosh Yeshiva that I come to Shachris. I'm not going to come to Shachris. Not going to miss it. Nishtemir Tashem, but you got to come. we got to do. We make plans, and we're going to it next week, and then Mr. Shem, and we're going to make a committee, and we're going to discuss it, and we're going to have a plan, and we're going to make a plan. We're going to meet next week. Then we're going to next week, and we're fine. We make a call, and as soon as I get to it, right? Right? Panovich Sharov, they came back from America once. They asked, did you learn any English? He said, what did you learn? I'll see what I can do. Und was meint das? Das meint gar nicht. Right? You got to do things. And Rabbi Sai, in this gullus, it's even harder. Harder. It's easier to do things. No one's stopping anybody from keeping Shabbos. I follow Shalom. Grew up in America in the 1920s. You know, you don't come to work on Saturday. Don't show up on Monday. Yeah, that was his generation. It's today. Anybody's losing their job because they want to work on Shabbos. People can't find kosher food. Right? Our daughters can't find serious clothing to buy. You can't find Cholim Yisrael everything. Rabbi say it's harder. Listen to a deher from Rav Shalom Shavadron Zatzal. Everybody knows that the Golas Mitzrayim is parallel to the final Golas. Nisa Nigalu, Benisa Nasim Legoyal, Bishus Nashim Sikonis Nigalu, Bishus Nashim Sikonis Legoyal, Kim Seisrami Mitzrayim. We know that the first Golas and the Geula is parallel to the final Golas and the final Geula. What was the original Golas Mitzrayim? Ask Rav Shvadron, what was the matzav of the Yidden in Golas Mitzrayim? Were they like the Helig and or were they like messed up? And he says, we seem to have a stira. On one hand, Mente Shari Tuma. We know last week's Parsha, they had to go Bechipazon, Makelchem, Beyedchem, Lalechem, Beraglechem, Kamesh Baruch Hu Chishev is a case, he had to get us out early, one more second, we would have been finished. Halol of the Avodah Zarah in this week's Parsha. Kriyas Yamsu, the Malachim don't get it. We're talking about Klal Yisrael, it's a Mente Shari Tuma, and the Oiv the Avodah Zarah. But yet Chazal tell us, Loshinu Lashaynam, Loshinu Malbusham, Loshinu Shmam. They didn't change their language. They didn't change their names. They didn't change their clothing. They had Yiddish Namen. They wore Yiddish clothing. They spoke like Yidden. But the Memtesh Shari Tuma. To update a little bit the mushal that Rav Shadron uses. So you have a Yidol in Mitzrayim. He has, his name's Moishele, it's Chaloshino L'shmam. Chaloshino Mabush, he looks up, sounds like fine Yid. Right? And he's in a bar on Friday night singing karaoke in Yiddish because Chaloshino L'shmam. He's walking the walk and talking the talk. He looks fine. Chaloshino Mabusham. Loshino L'shmam. Mitzchem, Bershem, da, Borchem, Avay, Bishnev, and Elton. Lashino l'shaynam, abusham, shmam, men tes share tuma. And what do we have today? You can go to a hotel for Pesach in Disneyland. You'll have Hasidic Shechita, Chol of Yisrael, no gebrucks, and you'll have Mickey Mouse saying, if you're cautious in Yiddish, at your Pesach, at your Seder table. And we have sushi with more hechsherim than our tefillin have. So we're doing it. Our tefillin have never been more square. We've eradicated bugs. Our daughters know more than their grandmothers ever knew. My mother, Allah Shalom, grew up in Rochester, New York. Born in 1910. There was no Beis Yaakov in New York City. So maybe not in a little dorf like Rochester. I think she davened in English. I don't know. I saw her davening. I never asked. But she was a Meister Nefesh for Yiddishkeit. They sent me to a Jewish school. I didn't have the money. When I would come home and say, what'd you learn this week? And I tell them a halach of Shabbos that she never knew. She said, Baruch Hashem, look what we've learned from our son. It's gewaltig. When she lit Shabbos candles, Nebuch, she had to actually strike a match with a Nebuch little wooden match and light it. Today, your daughter-in-laws light Shabbos candles with a beautiful silver thing, with a fancy da-da-da. they're lighting with more kavana than their babas lit candles with? I don't believe so. It's harder to make decisions to do the right things today because we think we're doing. So if you're sitting with your latte, which is Chalav Yisrael, and you're eating your croissant, which is Pas Yisrael, the Lashon Hara doesn't seem to be so bad. And you make a beautiful upsharon for your Einiklach, and then you post it on the social media that you promised a school you don't have to get your kid into the Frommer school. So we're walking the walk and we're talking the talk, as our kids would say, and we think we're doing, but then we're not doing at all. Said Rav Aaron Feldman, Rosh Yeshiva of Neir Yisrael, and the Mrs. Gedolia Torah of Torah Mesorah, 1,200 Mechanchim Mechanchas are sitting at a Torah Mesorah convention. Shabbos, Friday night after Kabbalah Shabbos, gets up to speak. And he starts by saying the following. I said, Rabboisai, we are raising a generation of young people who are very observant, but they're not very religious. They're very observant, but they're not very religious. They say, we're doing Yiddishkeit. Look what we know. I'm in Chinuch Habanos. Look at the skirts. Look at the necklines. Look at the hair. They're doing their Yiddishkeit. They're observant, but they're not religious. What does that mean? Who's our greatest enemy? We have Amalek. This is Parsha. It's Amalek. Klal Yisrael are going out of Mitzrayim. Esemakos. Kriyas Yamsuf. They see an Anan. They see Amun Eish. Peledic, they're on their way to Tarsinai, Kabbalah Satoira. Who comes Vayavu Amalek? And as the Torah describes it later on, when it repeats the story in Chumash Dvorim, how do they describe Amalek? Asher Korcha Baderech. Korcha, cold, car. What does Rashi say? Like that hot bath, and you jump into the hot bath and you cool it off. He gets burnt, but he cools it off. That's what Amalek wanted. They didn't want us not to go to Harsinai. They didn't want us not to have Kabbalah Soterah. Good, I see they have Kabbalah Soterah, but Korcha. Enough of that enthusiasm. Let's make it cold. What's the gematria of Amalek? 240. What else is 240? Suffolk. That's what Amalek represents. Suffolk. I'm doing my Yiddishkeit, but you don't really. Not really. Not, that doesn't really make it. Not really. Is that. When I used to live in Eretz Yisrael, so before Purim, I was taking a haircut. Right? A little Sephardi fellow walks in, he said, I said, you sure? Of course, I know the Gematria of Amalek. It's 240. I said, what else? I said, sure, a suffix, 240. He says, you know what else is 240? I said, okay, I give up. What else is 240? He goes, Mas Hachnasa, income tax. Also Amalek. I said, oh, this guy. And then he says, I says, Nefuata. I said, I'm from America. He goes, you know what else is 240? I said, no, Ma'od. He goes, Dalit Vav Lamed Resh, dollar. Dollar's also Amalek. I said, Shkaya. Amalek is Korcha Baderech. You know what Korcha Baderech is? Korcha Baderech is when a young lady walks into my office. I was a menal of a Beis Yaakov, which wasn't from my Beis Yaakov. It was a bunch of Beis Yaakovs in Toronto. She comes to see me after school. One of her friends said, why don't you come and speak to our menal? Maybe he can help you out. She walks in from a Choshva family. With a good last name. And she said, Ray Feigenbaum, let me tell you how the system works. I said, well, why don't you do that? She says, well, here's how the system works. See, so your father makes sure that you get into the Frumma school because he buys your way in. Then he makes sure that you go to the best summer camps. Then he buys you into the best seminary in Eretz Yisrael. Then he buys you a chush of a chassid. You get married. You have children. You get them into the right summer camps. You buy them into the right high school. Then you make sure they get to the right seminary. And you buy them a chush of a chassid. And then you die. I said, well, that sounds very inspiring. But that's the system. As a young lady once told me, Sarai Feigenbaum, there's 1,100 girls graduating Beis Yaakov High Schools in Lakewood, New Jersey this year. If there would be 1,099, do you really think anybody would care? She wasn't walking around with a miniskirt. She wasn't texting on Shabbos. She wasn't doing a chvesvas. She wasn't off the derech. She had no derech. She walked the walk and talked the talk. She didn't want to get into trouble. Don't ask, don't tell. She wasn't going to embarrass the family. She'd walk working with the system. Because that's what she sees her parents do. So you just work with the system. She doesn't think they believe in it any more than she believes in it. But you just do your thing. Karcha baderech. And someone once asked me when I made this presentation, they said, so what's so bad? What's so bad? My kid will make a chinuch. My kid will make a good chinuch, and she'll get married and make sure that, you know, she lives out of town somewhere, so I don't know what's going on, and I'll be fine. Send your bucher off to Eretz Yisrael, you know, and assume that he's doing okay. And you can tell everybody, my son's learning. Buy yourself a son-in-law. Let him pretend he's a coloring man for 2 years in some fancy apartment in Yerushalayim, and you sound good, and he sounds good, and everyone's happy, and make him a great fighter. What's so terrible? Because the Gematria of Yisrael is 541. Take Aleph Shin out of Yisrael, Eish. Take the fire out of Yisrael. Eish is 301. Yisrael is 541. Subtract 301, subtract Eish out of the Yid. You're left with 240. You're left with Amalek. A Yisrael without Eish. That's Amalek. They're walking the walk and talking the talk. So we think we're doing. We're doing. We have a plan. We're doing. We're sending to the right schools. We're doing. We go to our shurim. We're doing. We're doing our daf. So we can tell everybody else we're doing our daf. So when it comes to the Siyam HaShas, we can make sure we get ourselves a front row seat and fly in and make ourselves feel like we're doing. But are we moving out of our comfort zone? Are we moving out of our personal comfort zone? What's the root of it? For ourselves, what holds us back? Many years ago, I was at a convention. It was a convention of, this is 100% true story. I was at a convention of the Union of Messianic Hebrew Congregations of America. You know, Novus Mentus Messianic Hebrew Jews for Yashka. Okay? They make conventions. They have synagogues. Right? Just about in Toronto. Right? They have it all over. And so now I wasn't invited as a guest speaker for Shtetl. So there's an organization called Jews for Judaism, which actually started by a fellow in Toronto. His daughter went to my school, very fine fellow. And it was in a hotel in Dallas, Texas. And so Jews for Judaism rented rooms in that hotel when they heard that it was going to be there. And they asked me to come along. I said, no, I'm not anti-missionary. I'm not into this, not my thing. He said, yeah, but you talk, you'll meet people. We're, you know, we just got Nebuchadnezzar. That's a whole Shabbos, all of Yidden and Nebuchadnezzar. We got to do what we got to do. I said, okay, yeah, you got to try and do what we can do. So we spent Shabbos here in that hotel. Remember, we walked, it was an hour and a half to walk to Shacharis in the Frum community and walk back. I tell you stories all Shabbos. We're sitting in the hotel. Now, you have to understand, every year it's in a different city because it's hosted by the local Messianic Hebrew congregation. 100% true story. The name of the host congregation in Dallas, Texas, of the Jews for Yashka, their congregation, is called Congregation Baruch Hashem. For weeks afterwards, says, how you doing? Fine, right? Congregation Baruch Hashem, Nebuch. Matzi Shabbos, we're sitting in the hotel lobby. And we're schmoozing with the chazan of Congregation Baruch Hashem. He's the executive vice president of this organization. That's a big macher. And we're schmoozing. They told me in advance, we're not doing hardcore kirov here. We're just here to make a good impression. They'll see from Yidden. They'll come and talk to us. You'll answer. No one talks to you. Don't go over and corner people. We're not, we don't want to get trouble. You don't want to get thrown out, you know. We just, you know, if people talk to us, at least we're there. And people came and said, Yashka, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, yeah, we didn't. So we're sitting and we're just schmoozing. And he starts saying, no, I don't understand you guys. It says in the Bible, right? He said, yeah, you're right, but, and we started going back and forth. A little bit, this, you know, calm, you know, we say, but what do you do with this pasuk, you know, verse? And we said, look it in context. And it starts becoming like a little fencing duel. And it ends up being a debate between him and a fellow named Rabbi Michael Skobach, Tzadik Yisrael Olam, who's probably one of the world's experts in anti-missionary activity. He once said, they bury people with the Svarim. He said, Nebuchadnezzar is going to bury me with my Goyish Bible, because he has it all written up with all his answers how to show how all things steer me to obey. So we sort of sit back, and it's going back and forth. This goes, yeah, but the Bible says, yeah, da, da, da. Rabbi Skolbeck says, oh, but look at the context, and your own thing, Matthew, blah, 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 steer it, blah, 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 look, whatever, right, and then your Bible says this, and we say, and it's like a fencing duel. It's going back, and back, and this guy's losing. He's moving like back and back. He's going, what about this? Oh, what about this? And finally says, yeah, but what about that? And even I knew the answer to that one. And we're like, that? Well, you look over there, the country exists, and therefore it can't be, and a steer me in a bay, and bah. And the guy's quiet. He's quiet. And I said, we won. We won. We just won the debate. We won. What's he going to do? He closes his Bible. He stands up and he says, gentlemen, I am wearing concrete shoes. I cannot change. You're all right, but I can't change. I'm the executive vice president of this organization. I'm a professor in Messiah College. You can imagine what that is. I'm the chazan of my congregation. I'm wearing concrete shoes. I can't change. Have a good evening. Goodbye. And I said, wait a minute, we won. You can't do that. Rabbi said, we wear concrete shoes. That's who I am. That's what I do. All those things. That's for Yenem. That's for a younger guy. That's for an older guy. When I was younger, I could have, but now I'm too old. When I'll be older, I'll have time. Then I'll do that. It's not the way I grew up. It's not. Who's the Sutton Milfanenu? The Sutton Milfanenu we know. That's the things we shouldn't look at. Those are the business deals that we shouldn't be doing. That's the Lashon Hara we shouldn't say. That's our inside voice, which we should keep inside, not say it outside. Who's the Satan Meyachareinu? Satan Meyachareinu is our past, which we say, I'm not going to change, it's not me. It's not who I was. It's not how I do it. I don't get to davening earlier. You're right, I don't know what the taich means, but I'm not going to sit there with an arskol, but I'm sure I have daughters to marry off. I'm not sitting with an arskol in shul. Hasa Satan Meyachareinu, we wear concrete shoes. And therefore, we think we can't step it up. And what about our children? So how do we get them? Well, you can't get them to have passion for Yiddishkeit if they don't see it by you. But why in this generation is it so hard? Our children are doing so much more than we ever did. But why are they not really doing it? Throughout Kol HaTorah Kula, it says Cholav U'Dvash. Eretz Zavat Cholav U'Dvash. Cholav U'Dvash, Cholav U'Dvash, Cholav U'Dvash. Cholav are the nutrients. Dvash is dessert. It's sweet. Only one place it says it the other way around, Shir HaShirim. Dvash v'cholav tachas l'shoinech. Honey and milk under your tongue, referring to Limud Torah. When it comes to Torah, Dvash has to be first. So it's nice they have all the chalav, and they can rattle all psukim, and they can read mambans, and they know the raid, and they know all the hak, and they got the den, and the pants, and they got the skirts, and then they got it all. And they know all the, they got it all. But was there dvash? Lasek b'divrei Torah is the very first bracha that we make. And that's absolutely right. Lasek, I don't care if you make sense, doesn't make sense, you enjoy it, you don't love, you gotta do it. Second bracha is Harivna Hashem Elokeinu Sivrei Torascha. Make it sweet. In the bracha of Harivna, that's when we say V'ni Anachnu V'tzeh Sa'enu V'tzeh Se'amcha Beis Yisrael Klonu Yodei Shemecha. If they don't sense the sweetness, you'll never pass it on to your children. Oh, they'll do it. They'll be observant. Don't ask, don't tell. But there'll be no passion. There'll be just what Amalek wanted. A Yid without Eish. 240. One big suffix. There has to be a harifno. And how do you do it? So Gazay, the Yaakov Avinu, is giving brachas to Ephraim and Menashe. But for reasons that Yosef didn't understand, but Yaakov did, he switched his hands. Ephraim gets the right-handed bracha, not Menashe the Bechor. Sikel Yadav. He switches. Yosef put him in the proper order. But Yaakov Avinu is going to do a difference. He switches his hands. Ask the kasha, why does Yaakov Avinu switch his hands? If Zeta doesn't switch his hands, move the boys. Tell the boys, I want you to move so I can put my hands out. Because you don't rearrange your children to fit your chinuch. You rearrange your chinuch to fit your children. You don't rearrange your children to fit your chinuch. You figure out your chinuch to fit who your children are. Even if they're not exactly what you would want them to be. Because you want them to be who they need to be. What do we do? I give you the same exercise I give when I speak to teenagers all over the world. Wake up in the morning, what's the first thing we say? We say, Maidani, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you can buy a little in the tourist traps, you can buy a little alarm clock, looks like a little yingala, and the alarm goes, Maidani, lefanecha melechai, boom, you hit in the head, stops talking, Maidani, lefanecha. Malachai v'kayam. Thank you, everlasting King. Shechazar to be nishmasi b'chemla. You gave my neshama back to me with great mercy. I wasn't so wonderful yesterday. Thank you very much for giving my neshama back to me. Rabo emunasecha. Your emunah's very great. What do you mean we tell the Eibishter your emunah's very great? We have emunah. What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu have emunah in? Kodesh Baruch Hu has emunah in you. Kodesh Baruch Hu believes that your little struggle, maybe the ones you can't tell your wife about, and you can't tell your shachin about, and you're certainly not going to tell your rav about, you're certainly not going to let the shadchanim know about, but your little struggle, what you have to do to move out of your comfort zone, that means getting to shachar's 10 minutes early, because that's your comfort zone, inside voice in, if that's your comfort zone, stopping and trying to understand what you're saying and feel is your comfort zone. Taking a deep breath and realizing that what bothers you about your children is that they're embarrassing you, not that you really care about them. Kodesh Baruch Hu believes that your little struggle is crucial and important. You know how we know? He woke you up. If you were not important, he wouldn't wake you up. If you were done, you'd be done. He believes that your struggle is important, and Rabbi Amunasecha, he believes you can step it up and move up to the next rung. You have to believe that, and your children have to know that the Eibishter believes that. Because they're all wondering, if I wouldn't wake up in the morning, would anybody really care? Would it make a difference to Klal Yisrael and Yiddishkeit and Mashiach and... But it must, because Kodesh Baruch Hu woke them up. And they have to learn to believe in themselves. They have to see that you believe that their struggles are important, especially the ones that they're never going to tell you about because they're too embarrassed. And that's okay. And their struggle is important, and it makes them a hero, even if it's nothing you can publicize. And even though what they're working on now will never be a video, and you're never going to hear Pesach Krohn telling him, "But I want to tell you a wonderful story about Ruchel." And he's not going to tell that story. And you're never going to be in the video. And you're never going to be in one of those books. But your struggle is important. How do you know? Because the Eibishter woke you up. Your kids have to believe that. Your kids have to believe that you believe that about them. And you have to believe it about yourself. But don't forget one thing, Rabbeisai. Three frogs sitting on a lily pad. One frog decides to jump off. How many frogs do you have left? Three. Because deciding to jump off doesn't get you anywhere. When it'll jump, you'll have two frogs left. As long as it's decided to jump, you still got three frogs on that lily pad. You have to believe in yourselves as much as the Eibishter believes in you. Your kids have to believe in themselves as much as the Eibishter believes in them. And then you have to decide, this is a beautiful Shirei Fegemaun, it was so inspiring, it was Mayridik. You park your car, you walk out of this room, you click off the video, whatever, however you're watching this, and say, Gevaltig, Peledik, I got, don't tell nobody nothing. Decide and jump. You believe in yourself as much as the Eibishter believes in you. And you jump, you can change the world. Thank you very much. Have a good day. pleasure.